Of Shiurim and in Yonei Mikvos. I would say welcome, but I'm the one who's here. You've been here the whole year, so I'm the newcomer. Okay. So, as Hashem, we're going to try to learn some of the main Inyanim that are Nogeil Maisa in Mikvos. Mikvos is a whole big limit. If you want to hear the longer version, I have like 30 Shiurim, the longer version, but this is the also this version is very has a lot of important things. It's not as long as the longer version, but this, Bez Hashem, we're going to try also to arrange to actually see a mikveh. Bez Hashem, we'll get back to you and when that's happening and which location. Hopefully, we'll do that as well. And okay, so without further ado, we will begin. The Torah tells us in Parsha Shmini, "Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayim yatohar, v'nogeh b'divlosam yitmo." So that means that this is the source of what we call a mikveh today. The source is this pasuk in Chumash. But the pasuk is interesting. The pasuk speaks about two things: a mayim and a bor mikveh mayim. So what are these two things? A bor mikveh mayim is basically a bor is a hole in the ground, and it is a receptacle for water, rainwater. So basically, that's all you have to do is you have to build. You want to build a mikveh, so you just build. You just dig. The only thing you have to do is dig a hole in the ground. And the rest, especially a week like this week, you could probably fill up one or two good mikvos with that. So you build a hole over the ground, you fit 40 saw, which is the shear that a person could go into, and that's what a mikveh is. Finished. That's all you have to do. You just build a hole in the ground, and what's the source of your water is rainwater. That's what a mikveh is. But the Torah tells us there's another way, another option. You have two options. You have the mikveh option, bor mikveh mayim. Mikveh is also called, like Achronu say, and Shefter said this over, that you kavu hamayim el mokom echad, kviya v'kaimi. You know, it's kavu, it's stagnant in one, as Shefter pointed out, stagnant in one area, and that's a bor mikveh mayim. So that's the first, that's the one source. And the first thing the Torah mentions is a mayan. A mayan is when you get water from underneath the ground. In other words, you dig, instead of digging and then waiting for it to rain, right, there's another way of doing it, is just dig deep, till you hit the source of water. And then you have a mayan, underground spring, what we call it, and that would be another way of getting a source of tara. So those are the two options. You have the mikveh option, which is basically digging in the ground and then you're using the rainwater, and the mayan option is the getting the water from underneath the ground, where you're digging. Digging deep enough, and most communities use rainwater. Some communities use Mayan water, but the communities that use Mayan water usually get it brought up, pumped up in a way that it won't possible it, because a lot of times, it takes time to get that water. You can't just dig a little bit, and you're gonna get the mayan. You gotta dig very deep. So if you want to do such a thing, so you would have to like build steps to go like 100 feet down into the ground. That wouldn't be the most convenient thing to do. So they'll have a kosher way, as we'll discuss in the future, to pump it up, and they'll basically use that water. But at the end of the day, it won't have whatever chashivas there is to a Mayan that we'll discuss. It won't be shaykh to this particular situation, because once the Mayan is no longer in its habitat, it's already nipsach. So then the water is a kosher water, but then it won't have the status of a Mayan. We'll see what the mila is of having a status of a Mayan. But those are the two ways. There are in some Hasidic communities, they'll actually have a real Mayan, a square or something like that. Have a real Mayan. A real Mayan means your dog, and then the water is where you found it. It's not like you're gonna pump it up and you'll have a mila of Mayan, which we'll see. Could be a mila in certain situations, but these are the two ways, the two sources of water. But Rashi and Chumash says two pshatim in the pasuk in Chumash. Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayin. So he tells you these two things. What? What about these two things? Yiyetor. So what does yiyetor mean? So Rashi has two pshatim. Ach mayin ubor mikveh mayin hamuchubarim lakarka ein mekablam tuma. So the first first pshat that Rashi has is that this has nothing to do with the concept of you going to the mikveh and you're a nido, whoever you are, and you come out okay. No. Yetor means that we know usually there are what's mekabel tumah? Adam, kelim, ochlim, mashkin, these things are mekabel tumah. But if you have mayim shebekarka, which is a mikveh, so a mikveh is immune for Kabbalah's tumah. So even if a sheretz would fall in the mikveh, and that would be the ultimate dover tameh, you find a mouse in the mikveh or something like that. So the water remains tahor, but it has to have a status of a mikveh. So once it has a status of a mikveh, it's immune for Kabbalah's tumah. So for us, this halacha is not so nogeya, because Kabbalah's tumah is not our thing, because we're not doing taras today, and we're not eating truma, and we're not doing this. The only two areas in halacha that you have to know what you're doing for Kabbalah's tumah, and that's what we learned this year, Masechta Sukkah. You got to know it's mekabel tumah to know what you could use for schach, especially this day and age where you have all types of mats and things like that. That could be serious shilas. You can, potentially, you could have a sukkah that's pasul midaraisa, a great sukkah, and if it's mekabel tumah, so you got to make sure what kind of mat you're having, the whole hak with the Home Depot, some people, badafka, they don't want to spend so much money. They're Meshitaniks. What am I going to spend for with the Hechsher from who knows? I can just go to my local Home Depot and buy it for mega cheap. So that's a whole Shaila. It's not so Pasha. I'm not here to give. You can listen online. We learned Sukkah this year. We had this Shiurim on whether the Home Depot stuff is good or not good. And it's not a simple discussion. Because it's made as a partition. Sometimes it's made as shades. What's the story of that? Okay, Ayin Shom. And then the other issue that's nogeya lemaisa is, and this is nogeya for this shaila, is Hilchas Nida, because there's a din in Hilchas Nida that there's a din of midrabanan that a woman has a kesem, she has a stain, not a riyah, whatever that means. That requires a whole discussion. But she has a stain, so the stain is only a problem to aser her midrabanan if it falls on something that's mekabel tumah. But if it falls on something that's not mekabel tumah, so then potentially it could be So if his film falls on something that's not mekabel tumah, so then she's muteris, right? Like the case in the Gemara, batka karka olam, that she finds a stain on the ground. You know, some people find a stain. So if the ground is mechubar lekarka, so mechubar lekarka is not mekabel tumah. So therefore, if she finds dam on the ground, even though it might be vadai migufa. But it's a kesem. There was no special hargasha, whatever that's supposed to mean. But there was no hargasha, and she finds it v'hinei dam by a basha. So she's muteris. So one shaila that comes up a lot in Hilchas Nida is women that find blood in the toilet, but in the water in the toilet, in the water in the toilet. So they find dam in the water in the toilet, so if it's less than a gris, so then okay, it's less than a gris, then it's mutter anyway, because it's less than a gris, whatever the shear of gris is, and a nickel, a penny, whatever it is, it's less than that, it's not a problem. But a lot of times it's more than a gris. So if it's more than a gris, but it's on something that's not mekabel tum, it'll also be mutter, unless it gets too big. And once it gets too big, then you say that's already a ria, that's a suffix ria, so we treat it like a din daraisa, and then it's not going to help that it's on enum mekabel tumah, because enum mekabel tumah is only for the din darabanan summon. Once you're in the daraisa world, then there's no kula. So the big shaila that the poskim have is the water in the toilet. Is the water in the toilet mekabel tumah? In other words, water is something that's mekabel tumah, generally. Water is something that's an ochel, a mashke. So it's mekabel tumah. But the question is, the first part of Mishnayos and Mikvos discuss megaboim. If you have a revius of water in the ground, and something tumah falls in, so a revius could be a mikvah for kalim tumayim. Not for kalim that you buy from the Achum, but for kalim tameim. So it has a shem mikvah even on the revius. So there's a discussion in the poskim. Should we be able to say that since this halacha that the pasuk is telling us here that mayim shebekarka is not mekabel tumah? So therefore, maybe. So that was the puparav psak that the water in the toilet is like a mikveh. It's a mikveh for kalim tumeim min haTorah. So mela, it would be immune for kabbalas toma. And therefore, if you would find blood, unless it's mamish, so much blood that we would say it's a question of aria daraisa, then it would be a kesem, even more than a revius. But then, if you assume that the water in the mikveh is ainu mekabel tumah, so then it would be okay, and that would be the one relevant issue in lahalacha of the first pshat Rashi, that a mikveh is immune for kabbalas tumah. There would be a kesem in the water, even bigger than a gris. It would be mutter. This true. The Puparav wrote one of the original tshuvas on it, and the Kneil Bosom, Rav Meir Bransdorfer, wrote a counter tshuva against him. But okay, Yecheskel Roth, then he wrote his famous Kuntres Oni, the Kuntres Oni. He wrote on three topics, on Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. One tshuva was about Erevin. You weren't there, and so about if a person's mocha on the Erev Chatzeris is not going to ruin the Erev, an Oni. He wrote, Anida was his tshuva on the water, on the kesem in the toilet water, and Yevamos was, I think, about an Aguna 9/11 or something like that. That was one of his svarim, this Sefer Oni. So there are some Mora Hora that are makel. Look at me this, some say it's not so pashut, but okay, but that's the first pshat. The second pshat in Rashi is Yetor HaTovel Behem Bitumaso. The second pshat in Rashi means, and that's the source, that the person is tar. What is Yetor? The water is tar? That's the first pshat in Rashi. The other Peshat in Rashi is that the person is Tahor. That once a person immerses themselves in a mikvah, they become Tahor. They become Tahor. And that's the source of going to a mikvah, is this basuk based on. Now, even though there are two pshatim in Rashi, lahalacha, we assume both pshatim are lahalacha in this Rashi. Both pshatim, that it's not mekabel tuma, and also that in other words, snapshot that you hold from one pshat, you don't hold from the other pshat, lahalacha. The Rashi l'chumash is not necessarily the source of piskei dinim, but these two pshatim in Rashi are a tremendous source of. I mean, the second pshat, of course, is the whole concept of going to mikvah, and the first pshat has a limited, limited application for our society today. Look at me what I told you before about going to the mikvah of having the kesem in the dover mekabel sheinu mekabel tuma. Okay, now the pasuk in Parshas Metzora says the chitar hazov mizovo v'safar lo shivas yomim v'tarasu v'chimes v'gadu v'chatz b'sor b'mayim chayim v'toher. So we have another concept. There was mikvah again. A kosher mikvah could either be mei geshamim or it could be mei mayim. Right? We spoke about those two. But now there's another idea of mayim chayim. Mayim chayim. Right. So mayim chayim is also Mayan water that's flowing, and there are certain people that have to go into that regular mikveh is no good, that they need dafka Mayim Chaim, and Azov requires Mayim Chaim. In other words, Azov means he has an emission. We're not going to discuss all the halachas, but that will require not the regular seminal emission, but it's another consistency. And if he has it a certain amount of times, that will render him to be Azov. And Azov will dafka be mitayer himself in Mayim Chaim. But Azava, which women who are going to the mikveh today are Nida Safik Zava, and they will not require Mayim Chaim. They just need regular mikveh water, which is rain water, which is not, or even Mayim water, but not necessarily Mayim Chaim. So there is one sheet, some sheet is in Rishonim, even though the Tosefta says Beferish on page 6 that Azava does not require Mayim Chaim, so, but there is Shitas that say that you do require Mayim Chaim for Azava. This Tosefta, maybe it's a Chumra Midrabanan, someone to say, or something like that. So then that will be important dafka to get Mayan water that's flowing, because that would be Mayim Chaim, and you'll fulfill that sheet that brought in Rashi. Rabbeinu Halevi brought in Rashi that even Azava requires Mayim Chaim, and that would be one of the reasons that some people would want to dafka get Mayan water, but it would have to be real Mayan water, not Mayan that was then, pumped up to fulfill that opinion. But the simple pshat is that opinion is a pasha pshat, is not a real halacha. It's one sheet in the Rishonim, and it's against the pasha pshat of Tosefta, unless again you say that this kumra is only midrabanan. Okay. Now, the main idea between the distinction between a mikveh and a mayan is twofold. One is a mikveh needs arbaim saw. So it's a certain measurement. It needs arbaim saw. In other words, so that will cover, and then that will cover the entire body of a person. You know, a person has to be able to go to the mikveh in one shot. You can't do piecemeal. Like Hagolas Kalim, if you have a big kli, so you could put, you can heat up water, and then you can dunk half of it, and then take it out and dunk the other half, you know, in the hot water. You can do Hagola L'chatzayim, but Tvilas Kalim, you cannot do Tvila. Any type of mikveh thing has to be all at once. And if you don't do it all at once, and you're not yotze, and we know it, even one strand of hair that's above the water, it's ke'ilu the person didn't go to the mikveh. We don't say, you know, basically, it's all or nothing. It's all or nothing. Measure in Cane, in other areas we don't have, but that's why it's so important. You know, this became a big problem in this day and age where there's some, you know, there's a halacha that you have to have a mikveh lady to watch the woman dunk into the mikveh. A woman cannot go to the mikveh alone. I mean, there is an idea of having some type of net, but we don't have these things today. You need a person watching you, and if you don't have a person watching you, you cannot. That's also lo tevila. That's no good. You always have. So usually we have a mikveh lady. The Noda Behuda is a tshuva where he permits makom tzorech that the husband could be the mikveh lady if in need. Generally we don't do that, but in the case of need, the husband could be that person to watch that the woman is totally submerged in the water. Oh, so a mikveh, the Mishnayos tell us the following, that a mikveh has two very fundamental halachas. One is there's a shear of arboim saw, and the other is that it's metayr bashbarin. Meaning, it has to be stagnant. It cannot be any flowing water, and that's why one of the biggest problems in mikvos is if you have a crack and it's starting to leak. So then the mikveh could be a serious shayla, because zochlin is a psul in mikvos. The pashup shot, according to most shitas, is that's a psul d'oraisa. That's a psul d'oraisa. There are some rishonim, the Chasam Sofer discusses, that say that it's only the rabbanon, but we assume pashtus is that's a psul d'oraisa. Unless it's a chilul she'ein nikaris, it's just a small drip, and it's not. We'll have to define what the shear for that is, but the simple pshat is that's the essence. It's sort of like what Rav Shechter once said over from Rav Soloveitchik, the same his father. They once asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, you know, where does it say in Shulchan Aruch that an Esrog HaMorkov is possible? There's no simon in Shulchan Aruch of Esrog HaMorkov. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, it was a state Esrog. So that's the definition. If it's Morkov, it's not an Esrog. So the same thing Rishonim say, Mordechai, others say that's what a mikveh is. Mikveh loshen kavu v'kaimi. That's the essence of the thing. So if you say like that, then for sure it's a psul d'oraisa, and you can't. And therefore you have to be careful with the upkeep of the mikveh. That's why Reb Chaim Brisker, he wrote a famous thing that. His mikveh of his choice, the Esrog of Chaim Brisker had to build the mikveh. So he wrote a piece on how he thinks the best way to build the mikveh. So one of the things that he said, the way he likes to build the mikveh is above ground, meaning like on stilts. In other words, so this way it's very easy to tell if there's a leak. You just go outside and you look. Is there a leak? You can see it. But most mikvahs are built into the ground, so then you're not gonna, it's not going to be as easy to tell if there's a leak. So he was very into to doing it that way. So that was one of his ways of telling people when he was asked what's the best way of building a mikvah. That was one of the things he did. That was the right. Yeah, did you want to say something?
At what point does the basin become a cleat? I mean, at what point do we say that it's no longer a kubo harka?
Right, so that's an excellent point. In other words, because normally we build with derech binyan, not Rosenberg, where derech binyan is part of the binyan. In other words, so if it's part of the binyan, it's mechubar to the karka, so it works in the ground. So that's the simple shot is that's not a kli. The modern question was Rav Nachum Rosenberg told me that there was a law that buildings have to have a cloth or something like that. When you build the cavity in the ground, you have to put something before you start building. And that became a discussion whether will that cause it to not be called, or did you have to make a hole in the, well, we'll talk about that in a future shiur. But that's an important point. Let's say you have a dumpster. Right, they do construction at this big dumpster outside, and it rains, and the whole dumpster is full, so it's more than 40 saw, and you want to go into the dumpster, so and be tovel in the dumpster. So that's possible midaraisa, because it has to be mayim bakarka. It can't be, as you said, it can't be the kli. So that would be a basic psul. Basic psul d'oraisa. In other words, we have a concept of mayim she'uvim, that if the water was once in the kli, but now it's not in the kli, and you told them that water that was once in the kli, then that's mayim she'uvim, which it could be a psul d'oraisa, psul d'rabbanan, right? That's a discussion. But if when the water is still in the kli, so usually water in the kli, you're not going to be able to fit in the kli, you know. But if you have you have something very big, so that could be Absol daraisa. So these are the two things. These are the two things that we need in life for having mikveh. We have to make sure that the mikveh has the shear, our barn saw, and that what? That it is bashpor. So those are the mishnais in the beginning of a mikvahos. In contrast to a mayan, where mayan is metayer b'kol shehu, the Mishnah says. What does it mean, kol shehu? Kol shehu just means the amount that takes to cover the thing that's being put in the mikvah. If you're putting a needle in the mikvah, so maybe you need a revise or whatever, so you need a certain... So kol shehu would mean just that it'll cover up the needle. But if a human being is going in, so kol shehu would mean that the whole body could fit in, but not necessarily our barim saw. That's what it means, a kol shehu. So a mayan doesn't have the Mishnah says a mayan is matayer bezochlin, the water could be flowing, and it's matayer bekol shehu. It doesn't need the shear of our barim saw. Some Rishonim hold, Beit Tam and others, that for Tvilas Adam, even a Mayan needs to be Arbor himself. And others even disagree with that. So those are the two distinctions between a mikveh and a Mayan. A mikveh is Matayar Bashboran and needs Arbor himself. A Mayan is Matayar Bezochlin and Bekolshin. So the question is, are these two differences, the two halachas in each case, are they related to each other? Simple pshat is maybe not. Maybe they're not related to each other, two different halachas. But sometimes uh, sometimes you can have two distinctions that they are related to each other, and sometimes they're just two halachas that are not related to each other. So we'll see. So there is a famous comment that the Vilna Gaon made based on a tshuva of the Rivash. And the Rivash is based on a Mishnah in Taras on page 30. The Mishnah says, "Hanitzak v'hakatafras v'mashka tofech einu chibur." So the Mishnah says, "What is a katafras? A katafras is usually a slope. So say you have a slope in the hill, and you have cavities in the slope, and each cavity has 20 saw, right?" And then you have water going down the cavities, so the water is connecting the three cavities. But it's a slope of running water. So the halacha is that the slope of running water cannot connect the three cavities, so then each cavity is not a kosher mikvah, because each one just has 20. If it would be on solid ground and you have water there, stationary water, going, you know, each cavity had 20, you know, even ground, and each cavity had 20 saw, and then the water is going above that. So then that water perhaps could be a chibur between the two cavities, and then when you're going into a cavity of 20, as long as you get yourself totally immersed, then the two cavities are connected to each other. And therefore that would be okay, that would be a chibur. But katafras is ainu chibur. So the big question is, why is katafras, what's so special? Is it because it's a slope, or is it as a result of the slope, then the water is running? So, right. So really, the key thing is the running water is not a chibur, right? Not so much the slope, but the running water is the katafras creates zochlin. So the Rivash in his Tshuva here on page 31, we'll maybe get back to it in the future time, says that the definition of a katafras is really, the slope is just a hechitimtza for the zechila. Because if something's on a slope, if you have water on a slope, it's gonna run, it's gonna move. So memela zochlin is not a chibur. That's what katafras ainu chibur means. That's what the Rivash understands. So based on this, the Vilna Gaon says that if that's the pshat, so I have a very good pshat now in the two distinctions. That these two distinctions are not just random distinctions. That a mikveh has to be arbaim saw, has to be bashporin, and the mayan is running water, but it doesn't have a shear. Is the following, that since a mikveh has a shear, it has to be by definition has to be stagnant, because if it's not, it's moving, then it'll have a din of what? Katafras ein chibur. Because that's the Rivash's understanding of a katafras. Katafras is not so much the slope, shabo, but the slope creates the zechila. So memela, so these two halachas are haba hatalia. And a mayan doesn't need the shear, it's b'kol shehu, and it has a din of zochlin. And it has a din of zochlin. So zochlin is no chibur, but I don't need a chibur, so I don't need the shear. So that's the Vilna Gaon's famous Torah. Vilna Gaon likes these Torahs. the Vilna-Gaon in the beginning here in Mikvot says that these two things here, the Vilna-Gaon is on page 27 in the Bir HaGroah. He says the time of the mind, the time of the Chol Shum, the fourth line where the bracket begins, and that's his shtickel Torah. There's a similar shtickel Torah I heard many times from David Cohen say over from the Vilna Gaon, also from the Vilna Gaon, in the Mishnah in Sanhedrin by Irini Dachas, that what does the Mishnah say, that Rabbi, when Yochid is over Avodah Zarah, so Avachenek, and Lefichach Mamono Polit, but Rabbim is Besayif Lefichach Mamono Ovid. There was the two halachas, when a yachid worships Avodah Zarah, in contrast to when the rabbim obeyed Avodah Zarah. When the rabbim obeyed Avodah Zarah, then it can become what's called an iri dachas, and then we kill everyone besayif, and we take their merchant, their belongings. A yachid is bechenek, but his belongings are not taken away. His yorshim could get the... So the Vilna Gaon says that these two things are Hatalia, because the way Rav Don Kono was just saying over that because Rabbim, when they were Avodah Zarah, so they have like a status like Bnei Noach. It was when a Rabbim is, that was one of the Hishamas double drushes many years ago. So talking about the status of a Mumar in Halacha is a concept of losing Kedusha Israel, not losing Kedusha Israel, the whole thing. It's written up. I was there at that drusha. Sitting up in Birkas Yavetz, where this farm on many princes, Shabbos Hagdol Drushes, Shabbos Shuvah Drushes, etc. So he says those two things, that Rabbim is Besayef, because Rabbim, once they Rabbim together, they get a status like that of Avodah Zarah, they're like Bnei, we treat them like Bnei Noach, so to speak. And therefore, so that Bnei Noach is, you know, well, the Misa for Bnei Noach is Besayef, and then before they lose their money, you know, and Moshe Enkein Yochid is still in Israel, and if you move apart, so therefore, you know, so and Dini Ben Onoch, they could take away their you know, all their property, etc. So there was another example of having two distinctions where the two distinctions are connected. So that's what the Vilna Gaon does a similar thing here. Over there, it was more blatant because it uses the Lashon Lefichach, Mamonim Ovid, Mamonim Polat. So that's it was more. But over here also, he comes to this. So Rabbi Reich is going to ask me, what?
That Shir Kol Shehu, you need a Chibur Mayim, at least. Meaning, if you're going to be dunking in Kol Shehu, that has to cover your body with Chibur.
Yeah, that's one thing he's going to ask. And the other thing he was going to ask, and the other thing he was going to ask is, if we hold like Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that you need a shear for, that Masha was only for Kalim, but for Adam, you need a shear even by Mayan, so how does that work? Right, so what's the answer to these questions? Who asked this question? Rav Shimon Shkop, in the Shari Yosher. He asked this in the Shari, yes, right here. Page 33 and page 34. So basically, his idea is like this, that mashahu obviously means something also, but you don't need one chef, you don't need a chibur there. In other words, mashahu means I need the amount that will cover me physically, right? So if I have that amount that will cover me physically, that's a mashahu, that's good. So therefore, the fact that I need a chibur for a mikvah is that for a mikveh, it's not enough that I have 40 saw. Not enough that I'm being covered. I need this chafetz, this unit of a mikveh, that's one chativa achas, that's connected to itself, to be metar, to have the koyach hatara, so therefore I need a chibur. But mayan, I don't need a chibur. In other words, lemaisa, it's the physical water is all there, so I'm well immersed. So that's okay. And then Rav Shemeshkov says, and even according to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam, that you need 40 saw for a mayan. But again, that's only for the Maisa Tvila, he said. In other words, meaning, it's not a day that you need one chefetz. I need to be submerged with this amount. Not just the mashahu of the Darakov, I need more. But in other words, he's saying that the lumdus of the 40 saw, if you say like this Vilna Gaon, the lumdus of the 40 saw of a mikveh, and the lumdus of the 40 saw of the mayan, even if you hold the mayan needs 40 saw for Adam, is a different lumdus. For a mikveh, it's a chefetz echad, and it needs one chibur, and even though you have it there, physically it's there, but al pi din, it's not considered a chibur, so then nishta, it's not good. In contrast to a mayan, all I need is physically it should be there. Even though al pi din, it's not considered, you know, it's disjoint pieces of in molecules of water that are there, but they're there, and I'm totally covered. I don't have that one unit, but I don't need that one unit for the. Certainly, if you hold mashu, and even if you hold abarim saw, as Rav Shemeshkov says, and that's how he's meyashev the Vilna Gaon to fit into to this this thing. So now, as I told you before, most places that they use a mayan are not necessarily real din mayan, because if it's a mayan shenifsak, in other words, as I said, like many times, the water is pumped up. Again, pumping up is, it could be a problem if you don't do it the right way. We'll have to speak, or you have tfisas yad adam, and you could ruin the whole thing there. But so many of the, like in Passaic, they have May Mayan. Many years ago, I went to see the Mikvah in Passaic, Rabbi Heshi Hirth, one of the people who were very involved in the Passaic community. He was very involved in the Mikvah, and he told me how they were digging. And after a while, they were going to give up. You know, it was just going so much that they couldn't get, they didn't get water. So after a while, so he asked the Rosh Hashiva said, keep digging. Like before the shiur, right before the shiur, he said, keep digging. He finished the shiur also now. Then they, Dav Mincha, keep digging. And then eventually they hit the water, and then they got their water. But but that water is not the, but Passaic is not a real mayan, because you know that is brought up. So why do they do that? We'll learn more in Yonim of Shuv and things like that. We'll talk. So what's the mile of it? You know, might as well just get the okay. We'll see. Now, another point is that there is a Mishnah. One more thing before we get to that. There is a Mishnah in Mikvosi on page 9. There's another important thing that's very lemaisa, is oceans. That ocean is different opinions, but we paskin an ocean as a mayan. So that's a very important idea, that if you have an ocean, then that's a mayan, and therefore you could use it to be tovel, you could use it for tefillas kelim. Tefillas kelim also has to be a regular good mikvah. You understand? Don't think that it's only kelim. So, you know, we have a concept, you know, called like a men's mikvah. A men's mikveh means that it's 40 saw, but it's not real rainwater. It's water from the tap. You see, one yisod in Yiddishkeit that we've like sort of accepted, even though it's not everyone really held that way, but la halacha, you're not allowed to even think this, is that tap water is possible. That is what Judaism is based on today. Tap water is possible. So if you tovel in tap water, then it's very simple. You go into a swimming pool. You fill up a swimming pool with tap water, and it's a big, nice amount. That's a very big, nice mikvah. You have tap water. So that's, we consider that mayim shuvim, because it's coming from water tanks and things like that that are kalim. So we consider that mayim shuvim. The Gedulei Torah thinks not that way. It thinks that since it's was made to be Mekuber Lekarka, so that it's all Karka, and therefore it's not what? Shuvim. So Lemaisa, you know, in normative Judaism today will not put up with anyone who will be going to the mikvah in tap water. You know, even though, you know, it's there is a shita that says that way, and there was a rabbi in San Francisco, the famous Rabbi David Miller, who wrote the secret of a Jew, and he teaches you how you could build a mikveh for $5 in your house. Very simple. Just make like a sort of like this. Make a telephone booth in your house. Like, go into the corner, get pieces of wood, and you make like a little telephone. You know, telephone. People don't use telephone booths. A telephone booth is an outdated commodity. And then you have a faucet, and you turn on the faucet, and you fill up your, and then you go in. And you have a, I don't know how much does that cost? You know, very, very cheap. So his assumption was that you could use tap water. Today, that's like off the limits. But he wanted people that were not going to mikveh because, you know, they want to go to mikveh. But if they do it in the privacy of their own home, then they would do it. So that was his idea. Okay, but that's not but an ocean that comes up a lot. People take these vacations. The big yisod in life is never take a vacation when your wife is going to be expected to be a nida, because that's not a smart thing to do. So thank God for Chabad. Not everyone likes Chabad. I'm not so. I don't agree with everything they do, but I think, you know, I like Chabad. I think they should keep the Chabad learning at Thursday night. I'm very supportive, and I think Rabbi Chaim Rappaport is a very fine Jew, and things like that. So so sometimes Chabad has a special way of making mikvahs that we'll get to in the future thing. But you know, they Baruch Hashem, they made mikvahs all over the world. So you could, but even Chabad didn't get to every nook and cranny in the world. So sometimes people are on vacation, they can go use an ocean. You know, it has to be proper tznius and things like that. And sometimes the husband has to be the mikvah lady, so to speak. But you could use an ocean. With an ocean, we pass in the halacha. Is a din of a Mayan. So that's good. But what about rivers? What about rivers? What's the story with the river? So a river is not so poshut, because a river basically is a combination of rainwater. You see, river is flowing. So if the water in the river is what? Is a Mayan water, then that's great. If the water in the river is rainwater, then it's not good. So what is it? So this is the thing that it changes different times of the year. It changes different times of the year. In the winter, right, you have all the snow and all the, so you're having, it's a rainy season, the rainy season. So then, those we follow majority rules. Majority rules. So therefore what? What's the majority is what? So in the winter, obviously the majority is rain, and therefore it's flowing. So you have yourself a mikvah, because it's rain, and it's flowing. So what you have yourself is a pasul mikvah. But in the times where it's not the rainy season, so then you can have most of the water being what? Being Mayan water, and then it would be okay, because then the Mayan is allowed to flow. However, there is a shita in the Gemara, in the Dharam, in Tainus, that says, no, that rivers are always okay. Because there is a Gemara in Tainus, here on page 18, that says, Eimach ha-tefach mil-malash ein tohom yotzi l'krosso shlosha tfachim. In other words, because the assumption of that Gemara and base is that whenever there's rainwater that comes down in the river, that causes mine water to come up double. Every tipa of rainwater causes the tfachaim lamach to come. The Mayan to express itself up. So therefore, according to this opinion in the Gemara, and that's a discussion, basically you will always have Rove Mayan water. And mainly you always, those that are learning the Dharam, this year the famous Sugya in the Dharam, Mem, you know, we're a little bit close there. So you always win, because the Eimacha, you know, Tipa, from Lamata that causes, and that's the opinion of Shmuel, Nara Mikipe Mizbarach. So Lamaisa, so how do we paskin? So according to that opinion, it's always good. And according to the other opinion, it can only give you good in certain times of the season. So there is a tshuva of the Marik. Here on page 23. So he quotes a minhag on page 23. Gam al ikar adin mitzvilas naras harbe yesh l'hinodet al haminhag shekasavta shenogu litbol behem af bimos hagesham. So the Marik quotes a minhag to always use, that they can always rely on the shita of the what? Of Shmuel, that rivers are always good. Because rivers always have more Mayan than, because the Geshamim will cause the water to come from down. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, May Mayan. So this Marik is quoted in the Ramah. He says on page 20 and the fifth line, "Chein nogul barov makomos makom shein mikva ve'ein lemchos biyad hanogim lahakel ki yesh lahem al mi sheis mochu." Yigur gidul ha'anar hu makom makoro. So he quotes that opinion. That if you don't have a mikvah around, you could rely on, in other words, you're in a place where Chabad didn't get to, and there's no ocean, but there's a nahar, there's a river. So he says that that the machlok is in the Gemara, whether you can only use it in certain seasons or you can use it the whole year. And the Marik quotes this minhag that you could use You could use it the whole year round. You could use the river, relying on that opinion. And the Rambam quotes it as a that is Yesh Allah Amamim Sheis Mochu. So that's what Chaim Chaim Klein told me. You know, for certain people, if they don't have use that, they're going to be, you know, so there could be what to rely on to be Tovel. Rav Nachum Rosenberg told me, he's a big mikvah person in the world. He told me he once asked Rav Avadi Yosef. He said, "Can Sfardim rely?" It's in the Ramah. "Can Sfardim rely on this Marik?" So he said, "Well, the Marik was a Sfardi, so he said they could." Again, if you can get another, obviously it's, you know, it's a big machlokis. But if it's a shaila of a person not being able to be tovel, especially if he's not going to, you know, in a situation where, you know, if he doesn't be tovel, it could be a big problem, and etc. Especially he's away and you know, and he's with his wife, and it could be a big michshol. So he permits. So he said that, well, the Ramor already permitted it, and Rav Yosef even permitted it for Svardim.
What if that river connects to the ocean?
Still not simple, you know, because is that a chibur or not? Okay, so those are the four things I put down. Hagdaras mikveh mayin we did, chivuki dinim, bein mikveh mayin, one second, tefila ben haros, and Hashaychas ben Zochlin Mekatafris to grow. And then one last thing is that there is a question whether you could know, just because you dig deep and you find Mayan, that's not necessarily a proof that that's Mayan water. Because maybe the water is coming from what? From a river on the side. In other words, how do you know that it's... So just because you dig deep down doesn't mean that it's coming from underneath the ground. If there's a gnar on the side, it can be seepage, right? So that's called may. Here the Mishnah Mikvos on page 7. Hachofer. B'tzar hayam u'b'tzar hanar u'mokum ha'beitim harein ki mei tamtzis shalo poskul. That could be, you know, mei tamtzis. It could be water that's coming from the rainwater that's in the river. That's where it's coming from. So there's a question: how do you ever really know that you have a mayan and you're not? You know, I think the Sama Rebbe said the whole Williamsburg has to be choshesh that. Because the river's there, that whatever what they dig is metamtzius, and then that's geshamim water, and therefore that's not mayan, and then you can have all the chumras of and Mishkanos Yaakov has a tshuva about that he says here on page 8. He says, "Atanovo v'chakir hashenis techofer ba'omek at shemotzi ma'im novim if di ma'il hema'ayim." As I explained to you, you dig, that's that, but it's not so posh. Techol ha'be'iris din ma'il hem, maybe Ryan Mishnah. Yeah, omna l'anis dati chil godo yesh bedov. Davadai im chofrim ve'er motzim sham ma'im novea me'atzmo u'mkoro vadai dikosher av lezav dibay ma'im chayim. U'hedi dibay chafur mikri ma'im chayim. Ain't sorry. Aber havade lo bchol beiros in tsoy mein khaim yesh kam beiros a mein shen hen novim min anor right she karvel hen der ki de arts lo bi tsaratsman han vade lo mikre mein khaim u psulim lo zaven beiros we showed us of the yitzchak yo chichu right in other words he says that's pshat he quotes the whole story and told us with yitzchak the beiros are shown us of the yitzchak yo chichu sharav vol hem av de aver melach Avdei Amalek said, "Lanu Hamayim." So what does that mean? What does the Ramban say? Because the Ramban, "Shomu Shemayim Ayuboyim Ben Anachal Asamuk." That's what it means, "Lanu Hamayim." That you dug in your territory. Don't think "Lanu Hamayim" because it's really coming from our water from the side. That was the whole That was the whole dusiach between Yitzchak and Avdei Avon Melech, where the water was coming from. Because of Ramban Shem, Shomer Shemema Yibon Min Anachal Sobuch, Tain Omer Lano Hamayim, Aval Emes Haya, Shaya Mayim, Mayim Chayim Lo Min Hanar, Rak Mokor Noveya Mayim Chayim, Mayim Av Min Anachal, Re Akoponim Lahedya, the Rak Be'er Hanoveya Me'atzmuso, Dikra Mayim Chayim. So it's hard to tell, so there are in the Sefer Lechem V'Simla, who wrote the Lechem V'Simla? That's the Baal Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shlomo Gansfried. He wrote a Sefer on Nida and Mikvos. So he quotes from the Gedulei Tara that there are certain simonim that you could maybe rely on to tell if the water is... Okay, he writes here in the Lechem V'Simla on the page 12, he says like this: Lomus bar and hecha nikra somach vasimadim lahavchin im hein meimayin shim hein bokim derech neviya milmad alamala v'lo derech tzdadim. Right, if they're like gushing up, you know, the water is, you see, spurting up. So that's a simon that it's meimayin, or if it has like waves, or. So there's simonim, you know, how the water is shooting up, or you know, as it were, is it just flowing? So maybe that flowing is coming from the side, shooting up is coming from the bottom, or it has weight. You know, malin can mean galim. It's flowing like a wave. So it's also spurting up from the bottom. So those would be some simanim. Rav Nachum Rosenberg told me he once had an idea. Somehow he was building a mikveh in Uman. Uman, usually only men go to Uman, but sometimes women go, and they needed to have some mikvos for the women. So he needed to build a mikveh like overnight or something, so instead of they'd have to go to some other Russian, far away. So he was, he took the water to a lab. Shlomo Zalman agreed that they could tell, because the mine water has like minerals in it, and the rain water doesn't. So you can take it to a lab, and you could be able to see if the tests show that it has minerals in it. So then it's made mine. It's coming from the ground. It's not. It's the rainwater. And he told me that Shlomo Zalman agreed with him that could be a good halchacha of that. Besides the simanim that the Lechem V'Simla quotes from the Gedulei Tara. Okay, Rabbosai, let me wish you all a Chag Sameach. You should have a Kabbalah Satorah. You know, we should be involved in the Mayana Shal Torah, and we should be kind of the Torah, and we should, as Hashem, we'll come back after Shavuos and we'll learn more of the Siyata Shemayah.